Josh, if you haven't met me yet, hi. Everybody else? I don't get to come up here too often, but when I do, I am so happy. I get to be with the church family, get to see all faces, get to get into the Word of the Lord. Today, we're going to be in James chapter 2. Last time I spoke was Thanksgiving, but the time before that was James chapter 1. The time before that was James chapter 1. So we're just going to keep working through James. So keep your Bibles open to James chapter 2. That's where we'll be camped out at. We're going to do verses 1 to 13 today. And I'll reference some other places. But let's go ahead and pray real quick, just for the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that we can know the Word. We pray, Lord, that you help us to do your Word, do your work, that you may be proclaimed in all that we think, say, and do. Amen. All right. Question for you. Raise your hand if you've ever picked a favorite. A favorite, period. Anything. You've picked a favorite. You're a sinner. Okay? Our first verse today, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So a fun way to open up. Now, am I talking about a favorite ice cream, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry? No. Am I talking about, you know, a favorite fast food or a movie genre or music? No. But we like our favorites, right? And we have that mindset of, you know what, maybe I'm privileged enough to where I can have a favorite dish. Maybe I'll go and get a Wendy's Frosty and some fries from, I don't know where else, McDonald's. Maybe I'll listen to some country music on the way home, and then when we get home, we'll turn on the gospel and on some Christian music, because those are my favorite things to do. Or maybe it's something else, a favorite. Our first verse today, there's only two commands that we're going to be talking about. The first one is about not choosing favorites, or not showing partiality. And if you're wanting a title, just favoritism forbidden. This is a fun little exercise, because clearly we're allowed to have preferences. We're allowed to say, yeah, I do like my steak medium rare, if you choose anything a little bit more cooked, you're in sin. But we're allowed to have preferences, we're allowed to have things the way we like. James begins this saying, my brothers, or my brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And I want to stop right there. Who's he talking to? My brothers, or my brothers and my sisters? James is reminding the tribes who are scattered abroad, seen in verses 1 and 2, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. They are united in both blood and in belief. This term, brothers and sisters, is seen 19 times, at least brothers and sisters, 19 times in the book of James, 5 chapters. And I think James is using this as somewhat of a literary tool to remind people, pay attention. He's about to make a point. Saying, hey, family in Christ, listen up. Think about how sometimes we're lost in a crowd, or you got your nose down in a book, or you're listening to your tunes, or you're doing a task, and you are just, if you're like me, focused. I'm just doing this one thing, I'm going to focus on this one thing, and everything else can get drowned out, the noise of my surroundings. Easiest way to get attention, call out my name, and then how fast does the head swivel? Right? We're at Indie Explosion with the youth group. What was that, last week? Was that only last weekend? Goodness. Right? It's an all-nighter with the kids. We had a blast. But the amount of times I heard my name on the bus, I was just like, who's talking to me right now? And I don't know what they were saying, but I heard my name, and I was a little concerned. It was loud. It was hard to hear. But as soon as you're called out, you pay attention. And I think that's what James is doing. I've been talking to you. Hey, listen up. You're my brothers, you're my sisters. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. What does he say? Show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of, what's the word you have here? Glory. Or our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. The implication here, the Lord of glory is fully capable of providing all we need at all times forever. Amen? His glory will be ours, providing we are in Him for all of eternity. If you're trusting the Lord to meet all of your needs, why show favoritism in anyone? Why show favoritism in anything in hopes that they'll provide for you? Why show favoritism in hopes that it will avoid harming you? The Lord does not show favoritism. So we do not show favoritism because we have faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. This passage is part of a greater whole. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 19, look with me. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." This is where it starts. Verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Last time I was here, we talked about knowing the word and doing the word. Say that. Know the word. Do the word. This is an outworking of that command. Our entire passage today is an outworking of doing the word. Our passage is not about how you're going to be saved because you do the word. Because in order to do the word, you have to, what's the first part? Know the word. So in context, we have to keep in mind, we have to know the word, know the living word, Jesus Christ. Be in Him in order to do the word. And this is His example of how we do the word, not showing partiality or favoritism. It's very clear throughout Scripture that Christ, that God, does not play favorites in whom He chooses and whom he uses to follow Him and do His work. You say, well, prove it. Okay. I have a little list here. Old Testament people. Abraham, he was old. Moses had a speech impediment. Gideon was afraid. David was a murderer. Samson was a womanizer, and Rahab was a prostitute. All of these people are written in the Hall of Faith found in Hebrews 11. More Old Testament. Joseph was abused. Job was a wealthy man that went bankrupt. Jacob was a cheater. Jonah ran away from God, and Naomi was a widow. In the New Testament, the Samaritan woman was divorced multiple times. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, denied Him three times. Martha worried about everything, and Zacchaeus was a small and money-hungry man. Probably not quite that small. Jesus' inner circle, His closest friends, in His hour of need, they fell asleep praying. And Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, persecuted the church, killed Christians, and the Lord of glory, used every single one. He does not show partiality in whom He uses to do His work. Amen. Romans 8:28. Says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We, my brothers and my sisters, as James is pointing out, are called to His purpose. And it's a glorious thing to serve the Lord of glory. So we don't show partiality. And James here, verses 2 to 4, gives us a little illustration. Let's read. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? The poor and the rich man, they're getting different treatments. We see this here in regard to stature. As far as worldly possessions, shabby clothing, fine clothing. In the Greco-Roman society, it was really cool to wear fine linens and wear a dozen necklaces, a ring on each hand, to excessively adorn yourself with jewelry, fine clothes. It was good to look that way. And James is calling his people out, his brothers and his sisters. We are not meant to treat these people differently, because we are called to love the Lord of glory and follow his command. And that's going to come up later on in this passage. But don't we see this today? Little hot button issues. Do we not make distinctions amongst each other? Whether it's race, sex, vocation, age, we naturally draw judgments off of other people. And we naturally segregate ourselves. And it's not wrong necessarily to have a group of friends that you're close with. That's not what James is saying. He's not saying it's wrong to have your friends and to spend time with your friends. He's saying it is wrong to make judgments concerning other people. He tells us we become like judges with evil thoughts. The opposite of what God calls us to be as a holy and royal priesthood, seen in 1 Peter. If a lawyer walked in, and a person that worked at McDonald's walked in at the same time to my house. I'm not picking on anybody who works fast food or is a lawyer. I don't know anybody here that's either of those, okay? Just a preface. And I say to the lawyer, hey, why don't you get my nice comfy chair right here? It sinks in, you can fall asleep real easy. And I say to the service worker, why don't you just go to the kitchen and whip us up something since, you know, that's what you do. The hospitality, let me tell you, it's just awesome, right? No. That's a judgment on my part. A sin. And vice versa. If I tell the lawyer, you know, I actually don't like you because you're sneaky. You're high and prosperous. And I like the service worker because they're sociable, they're friendly, they smile a lot. It's equally wrong to make the other judgment. It doesn't matter who or what it is. And I mean, how many of us are guilty of making a judgment like that? I know I am. It's easy for us in our minds to say, maybe I don't go that way because these people are there. And I'm going to go this way because they look nicer. We make those judgments, those distinctions, without a second thought. And James is calling his people, his brothers and his sisters in Christ. Guys, we're one family. We are together. Do not show partiality. Do not show favoritism. Our second point is a command to listen. Read verse 5 with me. Listen, my beloved brothers. There it is again, or brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? The command, listen, my brothers and sisters. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom. And when I read this passage, a little bell went off in my head. I was like, what does that sound like? And I found nothing. And then we got to Matthew. Matthew 19:24. It says, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I referenced a second ago. They lived in a society where the wealthy became wealthier and the powerful became more powerful. And they often did so in part by using their wealth and their power to influence the courts their way, to make society bend to their whim in whatever way they could. They used their riches to force the poor to work any land that they owned. And they often did it under pretty poor conditions. And of course, not every rich person was this way back in the time. Just as today, many of you probably had that thought. Many of us probably had that thought of, well, that hasn't changed. Not every rich man, not every rich woman, not every rich company has that same mindset necessarily. But that's what was happening here. The rich were getting richer, more powerful. How? By making the poor bend to their whim. By perverting the justice system. By making everything their way. Going to their favorite kind of thing. It says, rich in faith, guys. Look at verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Are you listening? Has God not chosen? So God has chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith. If I presented to you four options, $1 billion, unlimited food and drink of your choice, control of who the president is, and you can choose yourself or somebody else, or to be rich in faith and have an abundance of trust in the one who created all and is actively sustaining all, which would you pick? Because that'd be a struggle for many. $1 billion with a B? I'm set up for generations. All the medium rare steak I want. Whew. That's a tantalizing offer. Or if you're Pastor Keith, unlimited slushies all the time. Icies. Oh, shoot. Unlimited icies. Control of power. Or an unwavering, unquestioning relationship with the God who created all these things, sustains all these things, puts the authorities where they are for however long they are there. Which would you pick? Most of us, I hope, would choose the last. It's not wrong to pick a favorite in God, because He is the best. Amen. He is the Lord of glory. The rich are the ones who oppress the faithful. Rich unbelievers would use their power and influence to prosecute or persecute believers. Probably because they oppose the teaching about Jesus as the Messiah. We are called, again, not to scorn them, not to start picking other people of our own accord, but instead show love to all, fulfilling the law of Christ. Look with me in verses 8 through 11. Keep the law of love, if you're looking for a point. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. For he said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So keeping the royal law. The royal law is a bit of a strange phrase. It might be in reference to the whole law, the Old Testament, because it refers to the love command, which is in Deuteronomy 6, called the Shema. But James makes it pretty clear. He's referencing the law of love. Summarizing this love command, the law for the kingdom that Jesus has inaugurated in the New Testament, the new law which he has established, because he fulfilled the Old Testament laws, and gave us a new one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one like it. This is the law of Christ, the law of liberty, the law of love that we are now called to. Verse 10. Whoever keeps the law but fails in one point has been guilty of it all. The law of love means a number of things, one of which that James is tackling is favoritism forbidden. Do not show partiality. When we break this law, we are not loving others. We are not loving God. Have you thought about that? When you pick a favorite, who are you choosing to love? Myself. Yourself. And it's as simple as, you know, I know that I should probably share the gospel while I'm at the store. But I don't really want to. I just want to get my steak and run. Right? That's not loving. It's, you know, I'm a teenager. I got to pick on my kids. Your kids. And I go to school, or I have drama club, or I have extracurriculars where I'm exposed to other people. And I see them, and they see me, and we have a fun time. I don't really want to ruin the mood by bringing up Jesus. We're just going to have some fun, play some games. That's choosing a favorite, because you're choosing yourself. And that translates into adult life. Oh, I'm going out to a meal with old friends. I'm at work, where people here obviously need Jesus, but I don't want to tell them. That's choosing a favorite, guys. Choosing my comfort, my peacefulness, my time. James here, very clearly, and we're taking this into application today. Do not choose yourself as your favorite, and do not make distinctions between one another. Why? Why, you might ask. Why is this important? Look with me in verses 12 and 13. So speak and so act as though who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. We should be thanking God that mercy triumphs over judgment. How many of us have shown favoritism? How many of us have picked a favorite? How many of us have sinned? All of us. What do we deserve? Judgment. But we're so incredibly, I won't say lucky because it was planned, but we're so incredibly loved that God, before the foundation of the world, chose us in Him. John 3:16, if you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life, or eternal life, however you want to say it. Right? God loves us all. He loves the world to the point He sent Christ, the living Word. God the Son, that we might know Him. And He used people like Zacchaeus, a tax collector, fisherman. He used the lowest of the low to pronounce His gospel, demonstrating to us the humility needed to live a life for Christ. Live a life not showing favoritism, but instead showing love. The law of liberty here is the royal law still. The law of love. Love your Lord, your God, and love others. Love His people. Believers who have been brought into a relationship by God, by faith, must still face a judgment day. A day of judgment. That's James chapter 4. We'll get there eventually. Verses 11 and 12, and also in 5:9. This day will be met with assurance rooted in Christ, but it's also a day to be taken seriously. The day that Christ returns is going to be a glorious day. Trumpets will sound. The dead in Christ will rise up. We'll be up in the clouds with them. We'll be with the Lord forever. It's amazing. But it's also terrifying for those who are unbelievers. For those of us in the family, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a day where we are reunited with our Father in heaven and brought together with Him. But to those who are not, it is a day of judgment. James is calling us to live a life without partiality, without favoritism, so that those who look at our lives can see it and not be suspicious of the gospel. Our lives are meant to reflect humility, love, fruit of the Spirit. If you know Him, I mess up them in order. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. This is the law that Christ has brought for us. Love God, love others. Our testimonies are always on display, whether we know it or not. Is it true of your life? Is it true of my life? That mercy triumphs over judgment, because that's true with God. People who display mercy over judgment towards others will not have to worry on the day of judgment. Matthew 18, 21 to 25. I'll flip there really quick. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 25. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. A lot. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had as payment to be made. Continue reading. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of the pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me and I'll pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him, and he said, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Very clearly, we don't pass judgment on each other. That is God's place. Very clearly, we forgive each and every person as our Lord has forgiven us. And we don't pick favorites to say, well, they're kind to me. They're nice to me. I might get something from them. They have forgiven me in the past, so I'll forgive them too. You don't pick that person over, I don't know them. I judge their character based on what they look like. In the past, they have wronged me. Therefore, I'm not going to associate with them at all anymore. And I will not forgive anybody because I don't want to. In all those circumstances, we are choosing favorites. You're either choosing yourself, the world and its wisdom, or Satan. We are called as brothers, as sisters in the family of Christ, to live with the law of love. The love of Christ. No greater love than this than to lay one's life down for their brother, for one another. So my question and challenge this week is, do you love others more than you love yourself? Do you show favoritism in how you interact with believers and unbelievers alike? If so, get that squared up. If you need to make it right with the Lord, make it right with the Lord so that you can be His family and grow the family. Our greatest call is to love the Lord your God. Second is to love others. And Jesus gives us a command to go to all the nations. That starts here. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that Jesus had commanded them. Do you teach love? Do you show love to God and to others throughout your daily life in how you pick favorites? I hope you get to have your favorite lunch today. And I also hope you get to share it with some people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray and thank you for your mercy. Mercy that triumphs over judgment, as you do not show favoritism, and you accept and love all who come to you humbly, recognizing the need we have to love you first, because you loved us before we even knew you were there. Father, we pray for everybody in this room that they may know you, know your love, know how much you mean to us. Know how much they mean to you. Father, we pray that favoritism would not be a word that would be spoken at the church of Bible Baptist Church, but instead, and all we think, say, and do is glorify and honor you, that this community, this family of brothers and sisters would be summarized in the word of love, your word. Pray that we are characterized by you as we seek to become more like Christ. Use us, Lord. Use us as you would. Amen.